you've been in our prayers and thoughts and in our heart. I know this has been a difficult time, but God has not forgotten you all, and God will not forget you. There is a time of grieving, and there's a time the Lord wants us to move on, but this is a time of grief, and the Lord made it that way, and that's all right. And the Lord, think about Jesus when he lost his good friend Lazarus, and he was there with Mary and Martha. You remember what Jesus did? He wept, didn't he? And it was because he cared, and he was touched with the feeling of their infirmities. And the Lord weeps with you also, but the Lord also has a plan, and he's going to be faithful to you. So may the Lord bless you all here in Fresno. And I know the Lord is going to see you through this trial and through this valley. Message I have on my heart, the Lord gave me before it came to this meeting, when the message the Lord had given me to share, is maybe not a typical Saturday night message, but I don't believe this is a typical Saturday night service. So I ask an interest in your prayers. I would like to speak by the help of the Lord tonight about a new earth. A new earth. Now, when someone speaks about something that is new, it infers that there is something that is old. If you go and say, I got a new coat, it means that there's an old coat. So before we get to the new earth, I like us to consider the old earth for just a little bit. Over in the book of Genesis, in the first chapter, the scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, when he spoke about in the beginning, it was not the beginning of God. It was not the beginning of the essence of who God was. It was the beginning of time. Because before God created the aerial heavens and this terrestrial earth, God had been in existence for eternity. And so when God created this world and he placed the sun up in the sky to rule the day and the moon to rule the night, time began. And so in the beginning of time, God created the heaven and the earth. God being Elohim, Jehovah, he created the aerial heavens. He created the sky, space. He created the galaxies and the planets and all of the stars. If you've ever gone out on a very dark night, away from the lights of the city, and looked up in a clear sky and just seen the thousands upon thousands of twinkling lights of the stars, and we were just a minute part of that. And yet we read what God did on this earth. He created the animals. He created the plants. He created every living thing. And it was good. It was beautiful. You know, when you get out in nature a little bit further from where mankind has marred it, you just see the essence of who God is and the beauty of his creation. Well, in the second chapter, in the seventh verse, it says, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord planted a garden. Now, the Lord formed man of the dust of the earth. And I am so thankful tonight that the scripture says that God remembereth our frame, that we are dust. He remembers that we are not spiritual superheroes. He remembers that we don't just maybe have it all together. But when we have needs and we go through battles and we go through those valleys, he looks on us. And he well remembers that he created us from the dust of the earth. And The scripture in another in ones in chapter 1, verse 26, it says, God said, let us make man in our image. Notice the plurality of that. Let us. Do you realize that God the Father was there with his son Jesus? We read of the Holy Spirit moving across the face of the deep. So when God said, let us make man in our image, there was something unique that God, the Trinity, did to mankind that he did not give to everyone else. And it had a lot more to do with the spiritual side than it did the DNA sequencing of mankind. Because, you know, DNA-wise, there's not a whole lot of difference between us and some other animals in the kingdom that God created. And yet, when he made mankind, he breathed into him what? He breathed into him the breath of life, and he gave him a living soul. The Lord, when he said, he made us in his image, it wasn't that we look like God in the flesh. It was that he gave us a living soul. He made us spiritual beings. And he created within us and gave us an eternal soul. All of us had a beginning. God did not have a beginning. He is from eternity to eternity. But when he made mankind, he created from the beginning. He gave each and every one of us a living soul that would never die, but would continue on eternally. And so we were made in the image of God with a living soul. And he planted in the 8th verse there of the 2nd chapter, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that was pleasant in sight and good for food. That's not all he did. It says the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You realize that tree of life, and we don't have the time tonight to do an in-depth Bible study on every facet of this because we're headed somewhere. But to get to the new earth, Lord, help us to understand this earth that we have right now. Well, God put in there the tree of life, and it was access to that tree that enabled Adam and Eve to live without disease, and without sickness, and without death. Because God had intended, in a sense, for Adam and Eve to commune with him and to live without dying in the Garden of Eden, because they could just eat of that tree of life. And as long as they ate of the tree of life, they had life. And their physical body did not die, and they commune with God. But that's not the only tree that God placed in the garden. It said he also placed in the garden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told them, he said, you can eat of every tree, all of the fruit, the vegetables, everything that you see, it's good for you. And you have access to that, and you can eat. But he said of this one tree, he said, in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, in the day that you eat of that, you shall what? Surely die. You're going to die a physical death, and there will be a spiritual death in that you will be separated from that close communion that you have had with your Creator. Well, why did God do that? Because we look at the condition of our world today. The scripture says, this present evil world. And we say, how can a God of love, how can a God of goodness, how can a God that cares create a world that has this heartache and trouble in it? Do you realize tonight that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil represented choice? Because without choice, there is no love. And God is love. There is no ability to express love if there is no choice. If I tell my wife I love you, But there was no choice involved, and a gun was held at my head, and I had to marry her. It really wasn't my choice. I was forced into it. But when there were others that I could have married, but I chose her, as we say in our vows, above all others, there was love. Without choice, we cannot truly experience love. God created mankind because of love, and he wanted someone that could do what the angels could not do. He wanted someone to worship him out of their own choice and of their own volition. And so he placed in the garden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and said, "Don't eat of this tree." And as long as Adam and Eve were obedient, they were choosing to love God, and they expressed that love through their obedience. Doesn't that sound kind of like the words of Christ? If a man love me, he will what? He'll keep my commandments. He'll keep my words. Do you realize that that is still true today? If we love God, we will keep his commandments. That is what demonstrates more than the way we look, more than the way we dress, more than the places we go, more than the things that we do. When we say, "Lord, I choose you, and I'm going to obey you," then all these other things are just an expression of that heart of love that we have to God. When we look in the Word of God and we see what it teaches us to do, and we say, "Lord, I will do that." Why? Do you know if we live this way because we're coerced? Sometimes when our children, when they're in the home, we coerce them. This is the way you will do it. And as parents, that is the right way to do it. These are the rules of the home. And this is how we will conduct ourselves in this home. But when the children get grown and on their own, do you know they're going to start making those decisions for themselves? And if they love God, they will choose that. But if not, the Lord's not going to force them. The Lord, it's a miserable thing to try to obey the Word of God and not want to do it. Love is about choice tonight. And that means there's one song that says we do just what we want to and we go where'er we please. Now, so there may be some children here tonight or someone here that had to come to service. And you might be feeling a little miserable. I understand that. But if you are here because, "Lord, I love you, and I want to come into your presence, and I want to sit at your table, and I want to eat of what you have provided for me, Lord," do you realize that's when we benefit? That's when we begin to experience the real joy of salvation and the joy of serving God, because I don't have to do this. When people say, "Oh, and we don't want to go down a rabbit trail here," but this is where when people say, "Well, the church of God, I have to do this." You all don't have to do anything. This is about your personal walk with Jesus Christ in your love. And there is a tree in each one of our lives. And that tree may look a little different in some of our lives, but you know what it is. And the Lord said, "If you love me, don't eat of this tree." And that therein lies my choice of love. That, "Lord, I know there's something that draws me to that, but I choose you. And so I turn my back on those things that are unlike Christ. And I turn my back on it because, Lord, I love you. And I'm not being forced, but, Lord, I'm doing it of my own volition." And so God created us as free moral agents, and he gave us the power of choice so that we would have the capacity to love. So he gave us that choice. And in Genesis 2, we reference this in the 16th and 17th verse. There is where he said, "You may eat freely of all trees, but don't eat of this." And as you know the story, Adam and Eve went ahead and they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was temptation. It was something there that drew them. The enemy was there at work. And when they ate of that tree, the consequence was death, was it not? They did not any longer have access to the tree of life. God placed a cherubim in the way to keep them from having access to that which would enable that physical body to live forever. And so it is that we have physical death in our world today. It was one of the consequences of sin. Death was a consequence of sin. The curse, if you will, that was placed on mankind, the penalty of disobedience of death was twofold. One was physical death, and the second was spiritual death, in that no longer do we have that direct communion with God. That which brings about the greatest fulfillment in life is communion with God, because we were created in His image. And when we look out on our world today, I drove around this evening. I had a little time and I drove around some different parts of Fresno. And you know, there are some areas I saw people that are looking for something to satisfy, and they were broken. And they were down. But do you know, if it weren't for the grace of God, you know where I'd be? You know where you'd be? But so how? We don't have no stones to throw, because we were spiritual beings, and people are looking for something oftentimes in the flesh to satisfy the need of their soul. And it was a consequence of sin that communion with God was broken. And so we read then, shortly thereafter, thorns and thistles grew up. I remember thinking about Adam and Eve as I weeded as a young child outside, and weeded the yard, and went out and was weeding the flower beds. And I thought, why, Adam and Eve, did you do it? But do you know, I have come to a realization, if Adam and Eve wouldn't have done it, you might be looking at me, why did Michael do that? It was because God gave all of us a choice to make. And so the consequence was by the sweat of your brow. Now, Adam, you could care for it, but it was just this wonderful, fulfilling, purposeful caring and tending the garden. But now, because of sin, there's going to be some sweat on your brow. And life isn't going to be easy like it one time was. And there's going to be some heartache. Your children, one of them killed the other one. Look at Cain and Abel. That's a consequence of sin. It brought grief. And Adam and Eve could say, we didn't do that. But yet you turned away from God. And it brought heartache in our world. It brought distance from God. You know, people are seeking so much today to be at peace. Find people saying, I just want to be fulfilled. And I want to find myself, and see people in pursuit of that walking away from the very thing that could bring the greatest fulfillment of life. How can we be more ourselves tonight than to come into the presence of the very one that created us and say, Lord, fill me with your love and your spirit, and I will follow you. You will never be more yourself than opening up your heart to Jesus Christ. And so, but people are seeking for that fulfillment. And so then we come down to present conditions. We look just a little bit at Adam and Eve. But this new earth that we'd like to get to, what about the earth that we live in today? We have beautiful creation. But you know, there have been nights that I have gone to bed, even after I was saved, and my pillow was wet with tears because of heartache and because of grief and because of separation. Economic hardships, is not this the world that we live in? We live in this country. We live in a place of prosperity. I've been in a lot of places that we here in this country don't know so often, don't know how blessed we are. But even in this land of prosperity, is anybody here, you don't raise your hands, but do any of us ever have stresses because we don't know how we're going to pay the next bill? Stresses because we don't know how we're going to meet this need that's there. Don't know how we're going to afford this. Don't know how we're going to take care of that. Economic hardships. We live in a world where there's famine. There's drought. There are people suffering. I believe it was someone in Africa is dying now because of the drought that is starting in East Africa. My daughter was telling me the other day, I believe it was every 45 seconds because of drought. And it's just getting started. It's going to get worse the next 2 years, they speculate. Physical sickness. There have been some suffering. We heard Sister Sherry, she went through some suffering, didn't she? Do you know that even in this time world, even when we choose to serve God, Brother Darrell brought, we're not exempt from suffering. We're not exempt, but suffering came about. It came about because of disobedience. It came about because of disobedience. And so now all of us are living in this world. And in this world, there is sickness. In this world, there is heartache. In this world, there is pain. In this world, there is depression. You realize that young people today, with all of our technology and all of our so-called advancements, there is more depression that people have today than almost ever before that we know of. Why is that? We live in a global society. When something happens here, we know about it. Then we're being bombarded with stresses. And with social media, we see what's happening in your life, or at least the good things that happen. And look, and young people in the surveys bring this out. Young people get on social media and they're dieting on that. They're feeding on that. And they see, well, it looks like she has such a wonderful life. And look where they got to go. And look at all their friends. And they're living on, they said, I don't have that. The longer people spend on social media, the statistics from the world. I'm not talking about Church of God statistics. I'm talking about from the world. It brings more depression. Because we're living, I'm not saying anything's wrong. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not preaching against social media. But I'm saying with our technology advancements and all the ease of communication, people are struggling. Young people among the saints are dealing with emotional needs in their life that just a few years ago they were dealing with. That's among God's people. And there are people that love the Lord even today that I know have struggled with depression and thoughts. And let me, please don't throw any stones at me tonight, but have struggled with thoughts of suicide and contemplated that because the world that we live in is so dark. And yet because of the grace and light and that glimmer of love of Jesus Christ, people that love God can hold on to that and it'll carry them through the dark times. I remember a time I was in a place of great darkness and I was preaching and I was saved and I had the Holy Spirit, but the world was pretty dark. And what kept me was that glimmer of light when the Lord spoke to me in dark one in the middle of the night. I was sitting there in our living room and he said, you're my child and I love you. And it gave me something that I could hold on to that carried me through a few more months of great darkness. Do you know that our world is in a troubled place? We live in a troubled world. Well, I don't see what the world has to offer to people making them happier. I don't see what the world is offering to people making families stronger, making relationships better. War, strife, brokenness, abuse, addictions. And I mentioned even when we're saved, we suffer the consequences of sin that is around us. And it brings heartache if you've ever had an unsaved child, someone that you love with all your heart. Do you know if you're not, it can begin to zap the very joy from your existence until the Lord brings you to a place. And if you're there tonight, the Lord wants to bring you to a place that you can start committing them into the hands of God because he wants us to enjoy the communion that we have with God. And it takes some tears and it takes some heartache to finally get to the place that the Lord loves them more than you do. And Lord, I can't carry this load anymore. And you come and you give it to the Lord and you pray. I will say I pray prayers that I can only go so far in my prayers and I have to back off. I can only go so far and I say, Lord, I'm going to have to leave the rest of it with you because it'll start zapping the joy that I have. So Lord, I'm going to leave this with you. The Lord came to carry the burdens of his people. The Lord Jesus came to carry the burdens of the suffering that is in this time world. Well, there is much more that could be said about the brokenness and heartache of this world, but I'd like us to consider now the new earth. Do you know that there is another chapter? There is another book. It's not over yet, saints. It's not over yet. I know that life sometimes can seem difficult, but thank the Lord, God had a plan. God had a plan that there's going to be a new earth. If you will turn with me to 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter, thank the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3. In the 10th verse, he said, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away. Now, what heavens are going to pass away? The aerial heavens, yes? The aerial heavens that God created are going to pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also. This earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This world that God created, this old earth, is going to be burned up. It's going to be dissolved, and it will be no more. Jesus is not going to come back to set up an earthly kingdom. He has already set up a spiritual kingdom that we can enjoy. But the kingdom of God is not what? Meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That although we live in a troubled world, we have access to God through Jesus Christ, that we can still experience the peace of God in our hearts. And so when he comes back, he's going to destroy this earth. It will be destroyed. And he said here, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Oh, is that a fair question tonight? Knowing that life as we know it is going to come to an end, what manner of persons ought we to be? Would it not change the decisions that we make? Would it not change the choices that we're making, knowing that this is temporary? This earth, this world is temporary. And he said, seeing then, verse 12, he said, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, all right, the story's not over. This earth and this world that has death, that has suffering, that has tears, that has heartache, that has the sweat on the brow. He said, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to take us to the judgment seat. But there is a place that has been created, and it is a new heaven and a new earth. That word earth means a new place. It means a place of abode. Now, this is our place of abode right now. And while we can dwell in righteousness spiritually, there's still a lot of heartache. Still a lot of pain. But he said, hold on now. Don't be discouraged. There's a new heaven and a new earth. I've created a place for my people that they can go after we go through this veil of sorrow of this life. There's a place that I have prepared that I have not seen nor ear heard how great and how wonderful and how beautiful this new place of abode is. It's a new place of living. And he said the new heaven and the new earth. I don't know what kind of heavens God has. Now, we refer to this new heaven and new earth casually as heaven, right? If we are saved and been washed in the blood, we have hope of heaven. Heaven is referred, this is what he's talking about, is there's a new place of abode. Do you know that we're not just going to be little spirits floating around? Yes, in paradise, that's the place of departed spirits for God's children. And my burden tonight is not to focus on the other place, all right? We call that other place hell. But my burden, and I want to encourage you all tonight to know that there is a new earth. This earth is going to pass away, and there is a place of departed spirits, paradise. And you know, that's what Sister Sherry, by God's grace, is enjoying tonight. Do you know what the word paradise means? It means a park. Sister Rich has gone to the park. Where has she gone? She's gone to the park, thank the Lord. And she's in the presence of the Lord. But there is coming a day when the Lord Jesus comes back, in the words of Christ himself. He said there would be a resurrection of the unjust to damnation, but of the just into eternal life. There's going to be a time that we are resurrected, and this old corruption shall put on incorruption, and we shall be given a glorified body, thank the Lord. A glorified body, because we will not be able to stand in this fleshly body the beauty and the glory of the new earth. Have you ever been in a place where the presence of the Lord just came down so rich you almost couldn't stand it? You remember times like that? And I'm thankful for all those daily, weekly blessings and anointing of the Lord. But there are some special times. It's like, I about can't stand it. That's just a little glimpse. It's a little sliver of what heaven is, that we won't be able to stand it in that new earth. And so the Lord had this plan that he was going to have to give us a body that was stouter than this one to withstand the glory and the enjoyment and the blessings of the new earth. And so he's going to give his children a glorified body. Oh, do you remember Jesus when he had his body? His disciples didn't even recognize him to start with, did they? But do you know how he proved that he was the Christ? By the scars. Those scars did not represent defeat. Those scars represented victory. The scars of this life and the tears and the sorrow and the suffering do not have to end in defeat tonight. But by the grace of God, when we have our glorified body, we can look at the scars and say, thank the Lord he brought me through. Thank the Lord he brought me through the tears. Thank the Lord he brought me through the fire. Thank the Lord he brought me through the valley, and it represents victory. Thank the Lord for that new earth. Well, we can speculate tonight. We don't know very much about this new earth, but we know that it far surpasses and supersedes the most grandest thing that we could even imagine tonight. Because, see, we are limited in what we know. Brother Darrell spoke a little bit about that, about the cell phones this morning. You realize that we think in terms of the colors that we know. We think in terms of the dimensions that we understand. We think in terms of the mountains and the valleys, because that's all we know. But do you realize that God has created a real place? See, sometimes we're not careful. We just think these spirits floating around and, you know, get up to heaven and just these harps and, you know, that was symbolic. Harps, we're not going to have physical harps. It was symbolic of the unity and the oneness of the cacophony of the sounds of God's people coming together in the oneness that's there. The streets of gold. Do you realize that gold for many years, see, Revelation was written symbolically. It was something that people of all cultures can understand because gold is rare. Maybe the gold, the streets of Bitcoin or the streets of titanium or the streets of this or that. Something that people, to see Bitcoin, who knows how long that's going to be around. So you understand gold was just something symbolic of something of value. I'd much rather walk on green grass than streets of gold. But what it talks about in heaven, it was meaning something that far surpasses the most valuable thing that we understand. God has something better than that. And it's real. It's not imaginary. I want to go. I want to go. Do you want to go tonight? We said, well, but how do you get there? Well, that's a different story, isn't it? But to get there, and Brother Paul mentioned that last night, I believe. But you realize that there's a new place. There's an earth. Yeah. It's a new earth. It's a new place of abode. He speaks a little bit about it in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter. I don't want to keep you too long tonight. But in the book of Revelation, we'll just turn and read Revelation chapter 21. And again, this passage in the 21st chapter has dual symbolism of the church and of this new earth, okay? The unity that belongs among God's people, the place that God wants to minister to us spiritually, but in the new earth, it is a reality in every facet of life. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. This earth, this heaven, it was passed away. It was gone. And he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And we read on down. I just want to touch on a few things. It said, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Do you know that in this new earth, this new place of abode, that there will be no more tears? There's no more sorrow. There's no more death. He said here, there's no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This earth is gone, and we're living on a new earth. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he went on and he shared more about it. You know, we have no need. You read on through this chapter in the 22nd chapter, there's no need of the sun. And why is that? Because the Lamb of God is there. The Lamb of God is there. In chapter 22, it said, he showed me a pure river of life. And you know what was planted by the river of life? It said on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were there for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, no more separation from God, no more physical dying, no more death, because we are in the presence of God and we have access to the tree of life. Again, symbolism. Pointing back to the beginning in the Garden of Eden, where the tree of life was there, on this new earth, there will be no more dying, no separation. The things that burden you here tonight will be passed away, and all things will become new. The quality of life that we have is just inexplicable. Anybody want to go? People like to try new things that they hear about. Well, they have this new this. Let's go try it. Or this new thing over here. And they always have to come up with something better because it gets old after a while. You know, I wonder, being in heaven on this new earth for eternity, what does God have in store? But it's going to be wonderful. And I know sometimes children think, heaven doesn't sound real attractive. I mean, it's kind of like going to camp meeting and sitting all day long, and all you do is sing and listen to preaching. And, you know, that's all well and good, but I'll confess, I don't want to do that all day either, all the time. The Lord didn't make us to do that all the time. He told us to go out and plant. He told us to go out and build. And it takes that to have a fulfilled life now, doesn't it? So what does heaven hold? I don't know what all it holds, but I know there's going to be real living going on up there. There's going to be real living. It's going to be good living without the sorrow and all the things that bring heartache. And we will be there in the presence of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us this evening. How are we going to get there? Because, see, we have this world and we have this earth and we have this new earth. Remember Abraham, the scripture said over in the book of Hebrews 11, verse 16, that they desired a better country. They desired something better, that is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be their call, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so those that were seeking that heavenly country boldly declared that we are just what? Pilgrims and strangers. Do you know it should change our perspective of this earth? It should change our perspective that I'm just a pilgrim. I'm on a journey and I have a destination in mind, and it's to a new earth. It's to a place that God has prepared for us. And so then when we start getting too tied down to the things of this earth, let us remember, I don't want the things of this world to hinder me from getting to the new earth. I don't want to let my heart go after the things of this earth. I don't want to let my heart go after the things of this world because they'll hinder me from getting there. But I want to turn my back on it and choose Jesus. Because Christ Jesus came to be the bridge between this earth and the new earth that God has created for us. So how do we get there? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ came to reconcile us with God. Through his death on the cross, through the shedding of blood, he broke the curse of spiritual death that we could once more be in spiritual communion with God. And when he rose from the dead, he broke the second part of the curse of physical death. And one day we too will be resurrected in newness of life to inherit a wonderful place that God has prepared for us. Those that are following the Lamb of God, you realize now today, this evening, we all still have a choice. I want to choose life. And the only way to do it, it's not by my way. It's not by the ways of the world. It's not by the enticements of the world, but it is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone that when I come in and accept him as my Savior and I follow Jesus Christ, one day he's going to lead us right into the presence of God and stand with us at the judgment. And he's going to say, this is one of mine. And the Lord God is going to say, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And we will enter into a place where there is a new heaven and a new earth. It's a new place of abode. I want to go. Blessed are they. Revelation 22, 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Why do his commandments? Because that's an indication of your love. That's your choice. That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. I am so thankful tonight that when this earthly body is dissolved, we have a home. We have something, a tabernacle that is not built with hands, and it's reserved in heaven for us. May the Lord bless you all tonight. When you go through this sorrow of life, and yet the Lord is there to comfort. He's there to sustain. He's there to bring that inward healing to enable us to stay faithful in our choice of love, that one day he may lead us to that new earth that he has created for us. Amen.